Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Growing in the Word, from the series Walk Your Talk, and examines how you can hear God's voice clearly and walk in obedience during trials and temptations. Before we get started with today's teaching, though, we invite you to check out PastorJeff.com to find more resources to help you grow in your walk. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
As we've been going through the book of James and we've been talking about how to walk your talk, we've highlighted the idea of trials and temptations, that God is the one who authors trials and God is the one who allows temptations, and he does it for our good. He does it for our benefit, because if we respond the way that God wants, we can grow our spiritual muscles. But the question becomes, how specifically should we respond? When trials come, when temptation is right at our doorstep, how is it that we know what it is that in that moment God wants us to do? And it's important that we understand that. Because as we've talked about as a group of people, that trials are coming our way, or we're in a trial right now, or our flesh is tempted to sin and go the other way because we have an enemy of our soul who wants us to go opposite of what Jesus wants us to do. So if you've ever wondered, how is it that I can get the benefit of the trial, or how is it I can get the benefit of the temptation, I believe God has a word for you. God wants you to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants you to respond in the proper way. And these are opportunities for us when we go through trials. These are opportunities for us when we go through temptation in order to be conformed to the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you want to know when you're in a trial, you want to know when you're tempted, what does God want me to do and how am I supposed to respond? I believe the Lord has a word for you today. He wants you to grow in Christ by growing in his word. And so if you do me a favor this morning, open up your Bibles to James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 19 through 25. And as you hear the word of the Lord this morning, know this is how we're called to respond when we're in a trial. How to respond when we're dealing with temptation. And here's what the word says. He says in verse 19, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." And here, the half-brother of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, highlights for us how it is that we can grow in Christ during trials. How is it we can use it as an opportunity to build our spiritual muscles? And he's going to give us four ways to do that this morning that we can really grow. So when you go through a trial, when you're being tempted severely, if you'll apply what he's telling you here, this is how you will grow in Christ. And here's the first way that we grow in Christ. I'll give you four this morning. Growing in Christ, or growing in the Word, requires concentration on the Word. Concentration on the Word. Notice what he says. When you're going through a trial, he says, "This you know," as if you already understand this. You're already aware of this. "This you know, my beloved brethren." "This you know, my beloved brethren." Isn't it awesome the way that James describes the people that he's talking to? I mean, James, the half-brother of Jesus, and Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, each write a book in the New Testament. They're both pulling no punches. It's like right out of the gate, they're kind of like hitting you in the face. And yet their tone is this: "Well, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you this because I love you. You're my beloved brethren. You're my beloved sisters. You're my family. And I love you enough to tell you. And this you already know when you go through a trial, but I'll tell you again." And here's his instruction. "But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Notice what he says. You already know this, but everyone. Who's everyone? That's y'all. That's me. But everyone must be. This is not a suggestion. This is a command for those who want to grow in Christ. If you're in Christ, you want to grow in Christ. So everyone must know this. He must do what? He must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Why? For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Now, I know when I became a believer, I felt like maybe God got this one wrong. Like it was out of order, right? I mean, isn't it more natural to do the opposite? Isn't it easier to be quick to become angry, quick to speak, and slow to listen? Wouldn't that make more sense? Hey, brethren, you know what to do. When things don't go your way, or you're in a trial, or you're being tempted, get really angry, talk and complain about it a lot, and be really slow to listen. I mean, wouldn't that be our natural bent? But he says, no, just the opposite. You know this. When you're going through a trial, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Well, here's the question. Be quick to listen to who? Who am I quick to listen to? Okay, I heard Colorado Springs and Westminster. I didn't hear you. Who are we quick to listen to? The Lord. Be quick to listen to the Lord. Sometimes when we're in trials, we're quick to listen to everybody but the Lord, aren't we? We're quick to listen to our friends. We're quick to listen to our podcast. We're quick to listen to the person that has invested in our lives well. We're quick to listen to the people that think have our best interests. No, be quick to listen to the Lord. Be quick to listen to him. Be quick to listen to what he's trying to tell you. If the Lord is always speaking to you and he's always talking through his word during times of trials and during severe temptation, he's willing to scream at you through his word. When we read his word, when we concentrate on his word, that's when we really get there. And when I talk about concentration of the word, concentration on the word, I'm talking about our focus. Where does our focus? How do you get to a place where your entire focus is on the Lord? Now, here's what I mean by concentration on the word. I mean, where do you spend time where you give specific attention to hearing the Lord and hearing him only? Right? Now, we could come up with a plan and say, everybody needs to get up at 5 a.m. and drink a cup of coffee and open their Bible and do a Bible study. But for some people that are wired that 5 a.m. doesn't feel so good, that might feel like hell to some of the people in here to get up at 5 a.m. and start trying to. So it's not about the religious methodology by which you use. It's when are you giving concentration of your time to block out all of the other voices and clearly hear what the Lord is trying to tell you. We talked about when we went through a trial, we can ask the Lord for wisdom and he'll give without reproach. He'll give without finding fault. He's not going to shame you when you say, Lord, I'm in this trial. I don't understand what it is you're trying to teach me. I'm being tempted like this again and I don't know how to get out of it. Lord, would you help me? What do you have to say to me in here? If you're asking that kind of question, you need to have time where you're concentrating on the word, where there are no other distractions. There are no other competing voices. You are hearing the voice of the Lord. Be quick to do this. Don't make listening to God your last resort once you've exhausted all other possibilities. Once you've talked to all your friends and you've watched all your social media and you've done all your things, now I got nothing left. I guess I'll ask God. No, be quick to listen to God. Be quick to listen to what he has to say, because he's the one that either authored that trial or is allowing that temptation. So he's the one who's more than willing to speak to you about it. So be quick to listen. And then how about this? Slow to speak. Slow to speak. Now, some of you may say, well, I'm an introvert. I get away with that one. Slow to speak to who? To God. You say, well, what do you mean? When we go through trials and temptations, what do we tend to do when we're not listening to the voice of God? We complain. We might not even be talking to God, but when you're complaining to somebody else, here's what you're saying. Lord, I think the situation you gave me is unfair. I think what you authored is wrong. I don't believe in what you're doing, and I'm very upset with you. Be quick to listen to him. Be slow to speak. Even when everything went wrong for Job, even when the enemy came and said, you know, what can I do? And God says, have you considered my servant Job? And Job goes, the devil goes and attacks Job. What happens? I mean, Job didn't, quote, do anything wrong. And he's got all his friends saying, well, it's because of your sin, or it's because of this, or it's because of that. And Job doesn't really say much until he's like, I know it's not me, can't be me. But what's he not doing? He's not listening to the Lord. And when he finally gets to a place where he repents and hears the Lord, we get about three chapters of how incredible God is and what he's been wanting to tell him all along. When you go through a trial, God is wanting to talk to you. When you're experiencing deep temptation, God is wanting to talk to you. Be quick to listen to God and slow to speak.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Growing in the Word, from the series Walk Your Talk, examining how you can hear God's voice clearly and walk in obedience during trials and temptations. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, generous friends like you make programs like this one possible. And when you give a gift in support of Pastor Jeff Ministries today, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now let's get back to today's message to listen to the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
When you go through a trial, God is wanting to talk to you. When you're experiencing deep temptation, God is wanting to talk to you. Be quick to listen to God and slow to speak. Guard your tongue as to what you say to God and guard your tongue as to what you say to others about your circumstance. Every time you complain, what you are saying is God doesn't know what he's doing. Right? And how quick are we to speak? We're all at fault. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Angry at who? Angry at God. Well, I'm not really angry at God. I'm just angry at my boss. Well, who put your boss in your life? When you're angry at your boss or when you're angry at your spouse and when you're angry with everybody, you're really saying, God, I don't trust you in this circumstance or this situation and I don't like it and I think you're wrong and I'm going to talk about how wrong you are and if you don't listen, I'm going to get really angry with you about it. No, brothers, you already know this. Be quick to listen to God, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Why? For the anger of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. I mean, anger doesn't result in righteousness. It doesn't result in your personal growing in righteousness, and it doesn't benefit anybody else in a godly way. And all of us have gotten angry, and all of us have acted in anger in bad ways. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross for all of our sins. But he's saying, now that you know, because brethren, you know, be quick to listen to God. Be slow to speak to God. Be slow to become angry with God. Be slow to become angry with all those around you. Why? Because your anger doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. It doesn't produce what you think it's producing. When you get to a place where you explode on somebody else or you get upset at somebody else or you talk bad about your spouse or you talk bad about your boyfriend or you talk bad about the church or you talk bad about your job or you're speaking bad, it doesn't bring about the righteousness that you think it does. And what we tend to say, well, it's just holy righteousness. It's God. I have a holy anger. Well, then be quick to listen, slow to speak, and be very slow to anger, right? That's what he says. It's concentration on the word. When you're going through trials and when you're going through temptations, focus on the word. Spend more time in the word. The more you know, the more you'll know how to respond. The more you hear God when you're in that situation, the more you see what he's at work doing, the more you understand what he's working out, the more you'll be able to endure the trial, the more you'll be able to overcome that temptation. Growing in Christ and growing in the word requires a concentration on the word. It doesn't mean you get religious today and say, okay, tomorrow at this time, I'm going to spend time in the word. You probably won't be able to do it. Because the enemy will do everything to distract you from doing it. The bigger question is, how do I make focus time, concentration on the word, a priority in my life? What does that look like? It means one is you can prioritize going to a church that preaches the Bible. One is you can open your Bible on a daily basis. One is you can listen to the Bible being read on a daily basis. You just get alone and hear God speak to you about you. Hear God talk to you about what's going on in your life. He wants to talk to you. We worship the living God. He's not dead. He's alive. The word is living and active. It's why when you hear the word faithfully and accurately proclaimed, you're hearing God. If you're encouraged, you're encouraged by God. If you're frustrated and he's chiseling something away, you're not mad at me. You're frustrated at God. It's the Lord who's doing the work. It's the Lord who's reading you. Amen? It's concentration on the word. Number two is this, growing in Christ also requires preparation for the word. There involves a preparation for the word. Notice what he says in verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility received the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. He says, therefore, put aside all filthiness. Filthiness is the idea of moral impurity, and wickedness is evil. He says, therefore, put all that stuff aside. He says, you cannot hear clearly what God is saying when there's unconfessed sin in your life, when there's moral filth in your life. You say, well, Jesus died for my sins. He did. If you've repented of your sin and trusted Jesus, you're in Christ. And yet, even though you're in Christ, there are still things that God is working out of you. And when there's unconfessed sin in your life, it's very difficult to hear the Lord clearly. You need to confess your sin. You need to forsake your sin so that you can hear the Lord clearly. That's just one way to do it. Now, I'm dating myself with this example, and some of you won't even know what I'm talking about, but there was a day and age prior to cable when in order to get television stations, they had a thing called an antenna. Do you remember that? I'm old. You had to adjust the antenna. You had to get it just right, because if you didn't, it was all skewed. Or when all people did was listen to radio, you had to get the antenna just right, or it was all skewed. When it comes to your relationship with the Lord, you have to get the antenna right. And one of the ways that you get the antenna right is confessing and forsaking sin. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, meaning this, God's been showing me an area, I know it's wrong, but I'm unwilling to do anything about it. I'll work on it later. I'll get around to that. You cannot hear the Lord clearly. There has to be a preparation, a weed pulling in your life in order to hear the word clearly. Hunger is also important for the word, a desire for it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Is there a hunger in your life for the word? I mean, many people will say, I just wish God would tell me what he wants. I wish God would tell me what he wants. Many people that say that do not want to hear what God has to say. It's just a smokescreen to say, I'd like him to agree with what I'm thinking right now. But if you really want to hear what God wants to say, God's really willing to speak to you about what he wants you to hear. But there has to be somewhat of a spiritual shower, so to speak, where you're preparing yourself to be able to hear what the God of the universe wants you to hear. Psalm 139, which is one of my favorites, God, we hear about who God is in all of his glory. We hear about his omnipotence, that he's all powerful. We hear about his omnipresence, that he's everywhere. We hear about his omniscience, that he knows everything. And as David writes that psalm in Psalm 139 and gets to the end in verses 23 and 24, he says this, it's a prayer of his. Search me and try me, O Lord. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. What is he saying? In light of who you are in all your glory, Lord, if there's anything in my life that's hindering me from being anything you want me to be, Lord, show me. I want to hear what that is. Now, if you pray that prayer, I promise, and you mean it, I promise you God will speak to you. Like, Lord, is there anything in my life at all that's not aligned with what you want me to be, because I can't think of anything. But if you have anything, I'd love to hear what that is. Would you speak to me? I promise you God will speak. See, there's a preparation for the word. Before you walk into a church, there's a preparation for the Lord. It's during the week, and it's on Friday and Saturday night. I'm pulling weeds, and I'm praying that the Lord would have a word for me, that the Lord would speak to me, that my heart would be receptive to what his word has to say. And here's why that's so important, because there's nothing wrong with the word. The word always produces results. I mean, do you remember the parable of the soils? One of the first parables Jesus told. In Mark 4, when he tells this parable, and the disciples aren't understanding. They ask him for the explanation later. He's like, are you still so dull? He goes, if you don't get this, you're not going to get any of the parables. Do you remember the story? It said a sower went out to sow seed, sprinkled it on the ground. Some fell upon hard soil. It was eaten up by the birds. Some in the rocky soil shot up immediately, but it had no roots. So when the sun came out, it caved. Some among the thorns, the rocks, right? Or thorns. So the cares of this world choked it all out, making it unfruitful. But the one that fell upon the good soil produced a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100-fold. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples are like, we hear it. We don't understand what you're talking about. What do you mean? And Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. And it goes out and it falls upon different soils, which is representative of our hearts. There's some hearts that are so hard, they don't want the word. And even though the word is true, they don't want to hear it. Get that away from me. And when people have that attitude, the enemy comes and eats it up. You don't get the privilege of the word taking root. Some say, you know what? I like it. That excited me. And they grow, but they don't want the word to take any depth in their life. They don't want it to take root. They don't want it to go deep. It hits a place in their life like, I like the Jesus loves me stuff, but don't give me anything else. And when trials and temptations comes, it wilts because it doesn't have any root. And then some say, well, I like the word, but then the thorns represent the cares of this world, the desires for wealth, the things that are important now, it chokes it out, making it unfruitful. So whether you have hard soil or rocky soil or weedy soil, what's the result? There's no fruit. There's no harvest. There's no nothing, meaning the word of God does not have its way with you. But when you have a good soil, a good heart, and it falls on it, produces 30, 60, or 100-fold. What's that mean? It means there's no problem with the word. You want God to go to work in your life and you have a heart that's receptive to what he wants, he will produce results in your life 30, 60, or even 100-fold because there's no problem with the word. The problem is that we don't prepare our heart to hear it. We don't want it. We say we do, but at the end of the day, we don't. So when you're preparing, it means that when you come into church, you should already be asking a question like this. If you're in a church where the Bible's being preached, this is what you should ask. If you're not in a church where the Bible's being preached, leave that church and go to a church where the Bible is being preached. And then ask this question. As a result of what I'm hearing today, Lord, what do you want me to start doing? What do you want me to stop doing? Or what do you want me to start doing differently? In other words, Lord, is there anything in me that you want to change? See, the purpose is not remembering every point the pastor said. The purpose is allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you of an area in your life that the Lord is speaking directly to you about, and then you go do something with it. That's preparation for the word. And God, listen, is willing to talk to every single person. That's why we pray that way. Who wants to hear the Lord? Who wants to hear what he has to say? Who will believe what he says? Who will put into practice what he shows you? He's willing to do that with anybody. He's willing to do that with you. Amen? It's preparation for the word. It's I want it. So you can do a drive-by devotion every morning for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes. You can just read through the word. I have no desire to do anything it says, but I'm going to read it because that's what I do because I'm a Christian. And God will, you'll miss out on everything that God is trying to speak directly to you. Pastors can do this. Well, I'm reading the word for you. I'm studying the word to preach to you. No. I'm studying the word to see what God's going to say to me so that I can speak to you. Amen. The word is living and active. And the more you prepare your soil, the more you're going to be able to receive the fullness of everything that God has. It starts with a willingness to concentrate on his word and then prepare to hear his word. Those are foundational if you want to grow during a trial. And honestly, during a trial and during temptation, sometimes that's when we turn the off switch, like it's too hard right now. How am I going to have time for the word when my whole life is blowing up? How do I have time for the word when I'm so tempted by all these things? Because now more than ever is when you need time to concentrate in the word. Now more than ever is when you need the Lord to uproot some of those things in your life so that you can hear the fullness of what God is saying to you in the moment. And that's how you're going to endure the trial. And that's how you're going to defeat temptation. And that's how you're going to grow your spiritual muscle. And those are only the first two. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it cool what James is saying? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for the anger of man does not produce the righteous requirements of God. And then he says, get rid of all the filth, get rid of all the evil, so that you can, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your soul. Yes, the word of God can save your soul for all eternity, but save here actually can mean delivered too. The word can mean it can deliver you out of. It can deliver you out of your trial. It can deliver you out of temptation. It can do work for you here on this side of heaven. In addition, it can save your soul for all eternity.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Growing in the Word, from the series Walk Your Talk, examining how you can hear God's voice clearly and walk in obedience during trials and temptations. Before we say goodbye, we want to remind you that when you give a gift to keep teachings like this one going out to you and others, you're helping spread biblical truth to a world in need. Simply visit us at PastorJeff.com to give. That's PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for email updates from Brave to be among the first to hear about new resources to equip you in your walk. Thanks again for joining us today.